back for you. My life is better with you in it, Josie. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize that.
I'm getting married, I choke out. Nick and I talked about setting a date when I get back, and I've already let Liam touch me and kiss me. My God, what does that make me?
Where's your ring?
I look down at my bare left finger. Of all the times Nick has asked, he's never shown me a ring. Maybe he thinks I don't want one, although I'm not sure where he'd get that idea from because I do want one. I want to wear what he's picked out to symbolize his love for me.
He's an idiot.
Liam throws his napkin down on the table.
If you were mine, that finger would not be bare, especially if you were visiting your ex-boyfriend.
He doesn't know I'm here. I mean, he knows I'm in Los Angeles, but he doesn't know I'm here with you. Liam pushes his chair out and stands. He picks up a remote and music starts. He walks the 3 steps to me and holds out his hand.
Dance with me.
I shouldn't, I whisper, unable to look at him. His fingers trail my jaw. He gently raises my face. My eyes find his.
You want to, Jojo. Don't deny it. I won't tell.
I push my chair back and stand, taking his offered hand. He walks us to the middle of the living room, hitting a switch on the wall to dim the lights. We stand in the glow from the city lights. His hands press gently on my waist, his fingers spread out to feel more of me. I keep my hands on his shoulders, a safe distance from his hair, while our bodies sway to the soulful melody coming from his stereo. He pulls me closer, his hands moving up my back. One hand comes forward, moving strands of hair away from my face. Every inch of my body is on fire. The look in his eyes tells me he wants me. I just have to make the first move. His hand roams down my back, cupping my ass, pushing me closer into him. I haven't forgotten what it's like to be with him. I don't think I ever will. We taught each other everything. We explored each other's bodies, learning as we became lovers. I knew how to satisfy him, knew every secret spot to make him shiver and squirm. His other hand trails up my arm, picking up my hand and placing it on the nape of his neck. My fingers push into his hair, and he groans, his eyes fluttering closed. He's grown it out since I first saw him in Beaumont. I like it this way best. His hand grips my hip, pulling me even closer, grinding into me. I bite my lip to keep my mouth from falling open. Anticipation builds. The desire is there and he knows it. He's studying me, marking me as his prey. His eyes are hooded, smoky. He licks his lips, watching me for some hint that he can take the next step. I can't give it to him. I won't. Who are we listening to? I ask, hoping to break up the tension in the air. The singer's voice is hoarse and sexy. I could listen to it for hours.
Liam bends me back a bit, the swell of my chest even with his mouth.
He kisses each breast before kissing the valley of my cleavage.
Me,
he says against my skin. Who are you singing about? He carefully pulls me forward. My hands instantly weave back into his hair. He looks at my mouth, then my eyes.
You.
Me?
Only you, Jojo,
he says as his lips meet mine. He has one hand in my hair, the other splayed on my back. He is soft, ever so lightly pulling my bottom lip between his teeth. When he releases, he's back on my mouth, tracing my lower lip with his tongue. I should push him away, but I can't. I want this. I want to feel him. I meet his tongue with mine. He moans, setting a slow and steady pace. Our bodies work themselves into a heated frenzy. His mouth leaves mine, trailing kisses down my jaw to my ear and to my neck. He holds me securely in his hands as he sings to me with words and kisses. My hand slides under his shirt, The sensation of his skin under my fingertips is intoxicating. I need to stop this. I have Nick to think about. But this is Liam, and I... He left me. My hands find his shoulders and push. His arms go lax as he looks at me. He shakes his head and steps away from me. His hands tug at his hair.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize. I shouldn't have done that, I say. My hands feel empty without him. I want to reach for him, hold his hand. But that would send the wrong message. It's bad enough we've gone this far. I'm engaged, and this is cheating. I should go. He doesn't say anything, just nods. He's staring out into the city lights, probably remembering why he left me. I look back at him one last time, before opening the door.
Josie, wait.
I pause and turn around, closing the door behind me. He's there, by my side, before I can catch my breath.
I'm sorry. I should have never put you in that position. I was being selfish and only thinking about myself and how much I miss you. You were here, in my home, and I couldn't resist. You're a temptation for me, and right now I just want to pick you up and carry you to my bed and not let you leave.
I can't. I'm... Liam puts his finger to my lips.
I'm just telling you what I want so my signals aren't mixed. I want you to know exactly how I feel, because the last time I kept secrets, I ruined us.
We can't do this, Liam. I'm getting married.
Then I'll wait. Forever, if I have to.
He places a lingering kiss on my cheek, holding me to him.
I want to see you tomorrow.
I don't know.
I'll be a perfect gentleman. I promise you.
I nod as he opens the door for me. With one last look, I walk out of his place. I look back as I wait for the elevator, and he's standing against the door, hands in his pockets, watching me. The ding from the arriving car breaks my heart.
Chapter 25. Liam. For the first time in years, I'll be sitting down for a Thanksgiving dinner. When Caitlin called and extended the invitation, I immediately took her up on it. I knew that spending the holiday with Josie and Noah was completely out of the question. After she was here for her trade show, things between us became strained. And that, once again, was my fault. I know I screwed things up with her, and probably for her. Arriving in Beaumont is better this time. I'm staying at Caitlin's house instead of a hotel, and for that I'm thankful. I'll be able to spend quality time with Noah in the comfort of a home. He and I will spend Saturday looking for houses because on Friday I promised to watch the twins so Caitlin could go shopping. I drive through town, hoping to catch a glimpse of Josie at her shop. I know it's a long shot, but I'm desperate. I'm in love with a girl that can't love me back. I gotta take what I can get. I drive by twice, both to no avail. Pulling into the driveway at Caitlin's house, Peyton stands and waves from the back of the pickup truck. When I step out of my rental, she's jumping up and down, yelling my name. Hey, Miss Peyton. I open the trunk and pull out my luggage. I packed extra clothes this time just in case I decide to stay past a week. Last time, I was here for almost 2 weeks and ended up buying more clothes. I also pick up the Apple bag containing the laptop I purchased for the girls. I want to be able to video call Peyton and watch football with her so she's not alone on Sundays.
What's in the bag, Uncle Liam?
I stop in my tracks when she calls me Uncle. This was something Mason and I joked about many times when we would talk about our lives and the direction we were heading. Oh, nothing important, just presents for you, Elle, and your mom. The excitement on her face is worth bringing gifts. I'm not sure how Caitlin is going to react to them, or if she'll even accept them. Peyton guides me into the house. The smell of pumpkin pie makes my stomach growl. Caitlin's in the kitchen with an apron tied around her waist, as is Elle. Caitlin comes over to meet me. I kiss her on the cheek as she hugs me. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, Peyton needed someone to watch football with tomorrow.
I look at Peyton, who shrugs. She's holding her sister's hand, eagerly waiting for the presents I've brought.
Peyton will show you to your room.
I follow Peyton downstairs.
Remember the TV?
Of course, I reply. We turn the corner into Mason's room, and I see why she brought it up. There's a gaping hole in the middle of it. What happened?
Elle got mad and threw Daddy's football into it.
I don't know what to say, so I just shut my mouth. I've only been a parent a little over a month, so I'm not qualified to handle these types of things. Peyton opens a door and walks inside.
This is the doghouse.
I can't help but laugh, because not only is this where Mason likely spent a lot of time, but it's decorated as such. I need to thank Caitlin for bringing humor into my life. Peyton leaves me to get settled. I text Noah to let him know that I'm in town, and at Caitlin's, and that we'll see each other on Friday. I wanted to see him tonight, or tomorrow, but Josie was adamant that he spend the holidays with her, Nick, and their families. I couldn't really argue with her, so I accepted what she said and left it alone. I bring my bag of goodies with me when I come upstairs. Caitlin is sitting at the table, her fingers rubbing her temple. I see an open checkbook and a pile of bills. I pull out the chair and sit down across from her and tap her lightly. She tries to smile, but she's been crying. Where are the girls? She picks up her papers and pushes them aside.
They're watching a movie in their room.
Do you want to talk about those? I point to the pile of bills. She shakes her head, wiping the tears away from her face.
I can't make it. I have to sell the house.
I know I'm overstepping my boundaries, but I can't help it. I grab her checkbook and look. There isn't enough to buy a gallon of milk in there. I reach for the pile of bills, but her hand comes down on mine. Let me help, Caitlin. I know you don't want handouts, but please listen. I have the means to take care of this. For Mason.
I can't, Liam.
You can't sell your house, either. This is the home your girls shared with their dad. It has memories. I reach across and pull her hand into mine. I want to do this for the girls. Please let me fix all of this. She pulls her hand away to cover her face as she sobs. She nods, giving me her consent to take care of her bills. I plan to do a lot more. I try to convince Caitlin that she needs a night out, but she refuses and pushes me out the door. I want her to come with me to Ralph's. I told Ralph that I'd do some gigs for him if he charged to cover. I want him to make some profit off me. It's the least I could do. I get there early, the door propped open by a cinder block. I walk in to see him setting up the stage and go over to give him a hand.
Hey, you're early.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about something before I went on tonight. I tape down the electrical plugs for the amp and mic, making sure they'll be out of my way.
What's up?
I'd like to do a benefit show for Caitlin Powell and the girls. I'll bring my band in and have my manager set it up. We'll play for free, but all the door fees need to go to Caitlin. Ralph rubs his chin, his fingers going back and forth.
Absolutely, he says with much enthusiasm. Hell, tonight all the door charges will go to them. I'll have the missus make up some signs.
Thanks, Ralph. I pat him on the back before he leaves the stage. I head back out to my car and get my keyboard and guitar. I told Ralph we'd really do the show up tonight. As soon as my gear is set up, I run through a quick sound check. I won't be worrying about mic quality, but I do want to hear how the acoustics are in this place with an amp. Women mill around the stage, some dressed in the shortest of skirts. Before returning to Beaumont for Mason, I would have taken one of them into the back for a quick fuck. But not now. Not a single one of them appeals to me. In fact, the way they are dressed just shows how easy they are. As soon as the lights dim, I start my set. I'm doing 12 songs tonight. Maybe an encore. I haven't decided yet. I start with Unforgettable. This will be our second single. Sam will kill me if she finds out I played it, but I don't really care. In between songs, I take a few requests from the fans up front. They request some of my earlier hits, but most of the songs I'm playing tonight are off our recent album. Okay, I have time for one more request, I say to the crowd. I have a request, a male voice yells from the front of the bar. I look for the person to come forward, but no one is moving. I have a request, I said. Okay, let's hear it, I reply, still waiting for the man to show himself. My first request is that you leave my fucking fiancé alone. My second request is that you leave Beaumont and never come back. And my third request of the night is that you tell your son how much of a fucking loser you are so that when you leave, he won't fucking hate me for driving you out of town. Drunk people suck. Nick is finally in view. He's swaying from side to side. He has a friend on each side trying to get him to sit down. Everyone in the bar is quiet, half looking at me, the other half at him. I strum my guitar to get the crowd's attention.
Can't you answer me, Westbury?
No, Ashford. This isn't the time or place.
Let's go outside then, hotshot.
I shake my head and remove my guitar. Sorry, guys. Show's over. But don't forget about the benefit concert we'll be doing. I pack up my guitar and keyboard as Ralph apologizes in my ear about Nick. I tell him not to worry about Nick, that he's drunk. I look around the bar for him, but he's gone, so I decide to call it a night. When I step outside, he's leaning against a truck. I'm in no mood to talk to him if he's like this. I set my gear in the back seat and turn to face him. He's sauntering over to me, unable to walk a straight line.
Where are your buddies? I don't need them to kick your ass, Westbury.
I'm not fighting you, I say, as I move away from my car.
Well, I want to fight you. I need to fight for my family. Ever since you showed up here, it's all Liam this and Liam that. My dad this, my dad that. I'm his fucking dad, not you. I raised him. I cleaned up the skin knees and taught him how to play football, all while you were off screwing half the female population. And my soon-to-be wife? God, what a bitch she's been, all because of you. Don't call her a bitch, Nick. You're drunk, and you're going to regret it.
I pull out my phone and text Josie, telling her that she needs to come get him before something bad happens.
You left her. I picked up the pieces. I waited patiently for her to look in my direction, and when she finally did, I was so happy. But no, you had to come back and screw shit up for us. She loves me, not you. So why don't you pack your shit and leave? Do us all a favor and get out of here. I want my family back, and you're in the way.
He's my son, Nick. I didn't abandon him. He deserves to know me. Nick shakes his head and leans against my car, his head hanging. If I didn't know better, I'd think he's crying. I get where he's coming from, but there's no way I'll give up Noah. Josie? Yeah, I'll wait for her. But Noah's mine, and I intend to stay for him. Josie pulls up, the bright lights from the car shining against Nick. He looks up and shields his eyes. I stand, in the same spot I was in when he started in on me, waiting for her to get out of the car.
Hey, baby,
he says when he sees Josie. She offers me a small smile before pulling Nick into her arms.
I love you, Josephine. Tell me you love me. Tell Westbury that you choose me over him.
Come on, Nick. Let's go home.
Tell him, Josie. Tell him so he'll go away and leave us alone. I want my fiancé back.
He can hear you. I don't need to repeat what you're saying.
Did you sleep with him in L.A.?
No. Nick, now come on. You're drunk and I want to go home.
Josie pulls Nick to her car, helping him inside. She doesn't look at me before she gets in the driver's seat, or when she pulls out. I get in my car and slam the door. A perfect night ruined.
Chapter 26. Josie. I spent another night on the couch, but this time, I didn't sleep. I stared at the floor, my hands, the picture window that Nick installed for me a few years ago. Anything to keep my mind off the utter mess my life has become, and the passed-out man upstairs in my bedroom, sleeping off his drunken ass. When Liam texted me last night, I wanted to cry. Not just for me, but for Nick, too. Through everything that has happened, everything that I've done wrong, no one stopped to consider his feelings. I should have put him first. He's the one who has been there from day one, even before we were dating. He was there for Noah. And now, he's suffering because of my inability to see past Liam. I never thought Liam would come back. But he's here, and he makes me feel things I haven't felt since I stopped thinking about him. Maybe I never truly stopped. Maybe I just masked my feelings. I love Nick, but not the same way I love Liam. Liam was my first everything. But that's not enough to give up Nick. When the coffee is done brewing, I pour Nick a cup and place it on a tray with some dry toast and bacon. He's rarely like this, so I don't know how he'll handle a hangover, especially when we sit down to dinner with his parents in a few hours. Climbing the stairs carefully, I push our bedroom door open with my toe. He's lying on his back, arms spread out. Had I been in bed, he would have knocked me in the face. Standing there, I study him, his blonde hair in disarray. The comforter is on the floor at the foot of the bed. A sheet is covering him from the waist down. I watch as his defined chest moves up and down with his breath. I'm just happy he didn't throw up in the middle of the night. I set the tray down on the nightstand, walk over to the window and open it for some fresh air. I crawl onto the bed next to him and can't help but reach out and touch him. I run my fingers down his chest, tracing his muscles. He flinches a bit and bats my hand away. I try to stifle a laugh, but I know he can hear me. Suddenly, his arm wraps around my waist and pulls me across his chest, his other arm resting on my back. He's awake. He holds me as I snuggle in closer. How do you feel?
Like death.
His reply is hoarse. He has to cough a few times to clear out his throat. You had a pretty rough night. He doesn't say anything. He rolls us over so that we're face to face. He bunches up the hem of my shirt like he's going to get lost if he's not holding on to me.
I drank too much, and I have a feeling I did something stupid.
I nod, not wanting to embarrass him. He's done enough of that himself. I move his hair away from his face, a face that I fell in love with years ago. I made you some breakfast.
Are you going to tell me what I did?
I shrug. I don't know it all, just the bit when I got there. I guess you and Liam exchanged some words because he texted me that you were drunk, so I came and got you. Nick closes his eyes and buries his head into my chest. He pulls me closer, needing the same reassurance I do that everything will be okay.
I'm trying, Josie. I really am. I don't know what happened last night. I walked into Ralph's and everyone was going crazy for him. And all I could think about is how I'm losing everything to this guy who doesn't deserve it. I started drinking, and I know I said something to him. But I can't remember.
I'm not going anywhere, Nick. After breakfast, Nick showered while Noah and I waited for him to come downstairs. I'm certain Liam won't say anything about their fight, especially in front of Noah. So I told Nick we don't need to talk about it anymore. He's dressed in dark gray trousers and a white button-down, his tie hanging open and loose when he comes down the stairs. I meet him at the bottom step and tie it for him. He pulls me into a deep embrace until Noah starts heckling us.
You just wait until you get a girlfriend,
Nick says as he helps me into my coat.
No way! Girls have cooties and don't understand football.
Nick holds his hand up for a high five that Noah hits dead on. I roll my eyes. My boys are incorrigible. Thanksgiving dinner at Nick's parents' house is always interesting. My parents join us and it's a huge feast. Christmas is a much smaller event. As we all gather around the table, holding hands for prayer. I'm thankful that my family is whole, at least for today. After dinner, the guys have cleaning duties while the women pore over the Black Friday ads for tomorrow's shopping excursion. I haven't a clue as what to get Noah and Nick for Christmas, and I'm hoping that I'll see something that will spark my interest. Nick and I are able to dodge marriage talk, even though we've talked about setting a date after the holidays. We want to get through Christmas without the pressure of people asking where we're getting married. Noah, Nick, and the other men head outside to play some football. The weather's changing, and I know it will snow soon. Noah has one more game before his season is done, and Liam has promised to be there. Liam, I don't know what to do about him. Sometimes I wish he hadn't come back or seen Noah that day. I think things would be so much easier. But then Noah wouldn't know his dad. Then I think that every kid should know both their parents, given the chance. Elle and Peyton will barely have any memories of Mason when they're older. I don't want that for Noah. The guys come back in, rosy-cheeked and dirty. Nick pulls me into a kiss, slipping his freezing hands underneath my sweater. I push him away, but he holds me tight.
I love you,
he says against my lips. I love you too. He pushes my hair behind my ear.
I want to head over to Caitlin's.
Why? I ask. Liam's there, and I don't want them fighting, especially in front of Noah.
I need to apologize to Liam. I don't want last night hanging over our heads, and I think Noah would like to see him. Maybe we can stop at home and he can pack a bag and stay with Liam tonight. Give us some alone time.
I'd like that, I say before placing my lips to his. Noah is more than excited to be staying with Liam tonight. When we pull into Caitlin's driveway, Noah is out of the car before Nick has it in park. Nick and I walk hand in hand into Caitlin's house. Noah is already sitting with Liam, trying to push Peyton out of the way. Caitlin is in the chair with Elle. For a brief moment, I look at Liam, so comfortable in Caitlin's house, and wonder if there could be something between them. She's been the one to make him feel welcomed, opening her house to him, inviting him to Thanksgiving. And now he's lying on the floor, Peyton resting on his stomach, like he owns the place. He sits up when he sees me staring at him, Nick behind me. I know I'm imagining things, but can't help it. My mind is going crazy here with images of them together. Caitlin closes her book and moves a sleeping Elle so she can sit up and greet us. What's going on? She says, yawning. We thought Liam would like to see Noah, I say, eyeing Liam. But if you guys are busy...
I don't think watching TV constitutes being busy, Josie. I'm glad Noah's here,
Liam says to me. The way he looks at me tells me he knows what I'm thinking. We've been down the jealousy road before, and it's just reared its very ugly head with me again.
Make yourselves at home. I'll put on a pot of coffee.
Liam gets up and helps Caitlin with Elle. My eyes follow him down the hall as he takes her to her bed. Apparently, he puts the girls to bed now, too.
Westbury,
Nick says when Liam walks back into the room.
Let's go outside and talk.
Liam doesn't say anything. He just nods and walks out the side door leading to the driveway. Nick kisses me on the cheek and promises to be good. I know you want to listen, Caitlin says when she hands me a cup of coffee. She motions for me to follow her into the kitchen.
Where are they going?
Noah asks before I leave the room. Just to talk? I turn back to Caitlin. What's going on with you? She asks, sipping on her cup. Nothing. Just taken aback by how natural everything looked when I walked in, that's all. I guess I didn't expect you to move on so quickly. Caitlin sprays hot coffee out of her mouth, ruining her white shirt.
Are you kidding me here, Josie? You think Liam and I are... Oh God, I can't even... I just buried my husband. I have no intention of pursuing anything with anyone. Liam is here because I didn't want him to be alone, and I didn't want to be alone on Thanksgiving, and Peyton wanted someone to watch football with.
I just thought... You thought wrong. He only agreed because it gave Noah a place to come and stay until he can buy a house. Caitlin moves to the sink to clean herself up. In case you didn't know, that man is still head over heels for you. I know he is, I mumble. I'm so stupid to think Caitlin would start something with him. Caitlin wipes her hands on the towel and leans against the counter. What the hell are you doing, Josie? I stare at Caitlin and back at the door before looking at her again. Tears pool in my eyes. I hide my face and fall into her arms.
Chapter 27. Liam. If I ever mention buying a house again, someone please shoot me. Noah and I spent all of Saturday and Sunday wandering Beaumont with my excessively hyper real estate agent. The only thing I learned was how to eye roll like a 9-year-old. Sarah, Sadie, or maybe it was Susie, I don't remember, showed us house after house, none of which met my requirements. Yes, I may be one person with a kid that I will have occasionally, but that doesn't mean I want a small house. I want 2 stories with a full basement and attached 2-car garage, with at least a 1/2 acre of land. I didn't think these requirements were too over the top, but apparently they were. Now Noah and I sit outside this 2-story house in the same neighborhood as my parents. I realized that this was exactly what I was looking for, so we drove through looking for a for sale sign. We found one. We're waiting for the agent to arrive so we can see the inside, but I know I already want it. I can imagine Noah climbing the giant oak trees that surround the property and can see him throwing the football around with his friends in the yard. This new agent steps out of his car and waves at us. He's short and pudgy, with white hair. He looks like a marshmallow. Hi, I'm Liam Westbury, and this is my son Noah. Nice to meet you. I'm Stu. Let's go in, shall we? We follow Stu up the brick steps. The porch is wide with white pillars and desperate need of a paint job. Stu opens the door, allowing Noah and I to step in. Before us is the staircase, open on both sides so you can see into the dining room and living room. The living room has 2 large windows, one in front and one in back, 2 more on the side. The kitchen is new, with a nook and all new appliances, and windows facing the backyard. There is a nice-sized bathroom just off the kitchen. The dining room faces the front yard with 1 large window, and 2 that face the side yard. We head upstairs to the 4 bedrooms. The master is large, with a walk-in closet that leads to a bathroom with shower and jacuzzi tub. 1 room is decorated as a nursery, which I'd have to change. The other 2 rooms are the same size. All the rooms have ample natural light. There is 1 shared bathroom upstairs. Stu is sitting at the table when we come down. We're just going to check out the basement, I say, as we pass him. He smiles and nods at us and goes back to his paperwork. The basement is accessed through the kitchen. We stomp down the steps, testing their sturdiness. There is a laundry room and a very large space.
What do you think, Dad?
I'm thinking a man cave like Uncle Mason's over there, and your studio there.
He points to the wall on the left side of the room.
Yeah? You know, the studio is pretty big. I need a place to set up equipment.
I think it will be big enough. What do you think?
I look at my son. He's beaming with excitement. I like it. Do you think you'll like living here?
Yeah, I do.
I put my arm around him and pull him into a half hug. Let's go buy us a house. We climb back up the stairs. Stu raises his head when we enter.
We'll take it,
Noah blurts out before I have a chance to say anything. Yeah, we'll take it. Stu starts talking about financing and banks. I tell him this will be a cash sale and that I want to move in right away. He calls the homeowners and tells them the deal that is on the table. They accept right away, and I agree to show up tomorrow to sign papers in his office. Noah and I walk around the yard after Stu leaves. He climbs one of the trees and we race across the yard to see who's faster. I may have let him win, but I'll never admit it. We leave the house when the sun starts to set and head to dinner. Family dining at Deb's is a Beaumont pastime, unless you're a Westbury. The first time I went there, I had just gotten my driver's license. When my mom heard about it the next day, she was horrified. We Westberries do not degrade ourselves with a place like Debs. Whatever. I love Debs. Noah and I grab a booth and order our celebratory dinner. He asks when I'll be able to move some stuff in, and I tell him that we'll order furniture this week and everything else we'll need. I still haven't been able to come to a decision about leaving L.A., so until then, I'll be here for a week or so every month. We're halfway through dinner, and Noah drops a bomb. Mom and Nick fight a lot. I set my napkin down, placing my arms on the table. What do you mean? Does Nick hit her?
No, at least I've never seen him do anything like that. But I hear them at night arguing. He doesn't think I should be able to spend more than a weekend with you at a time, and he doesn't want you buying a house here.
I bring my hands up, resting my chin on them. No, I should not hear them argue about me. It's not fair. Listen, buddy. This is a difficult situation for all of us, and honestly, really unexpected. You know, when I came here for Mason's funeral, I never expected to find you. I was shocked, hurt, and even angry. I didn't know about you, and to hear this boy tell me that he saw me kissing his mom on a DVD, I didn't know what to think. So imagine what your mom thought when I showed up, or when Nick heard you call me Dad. There are a lot of high emotions right now, and we're all trying to find the best way to deal with them. But don't think that the three of us don't love you. We do, very much. You're our number one priority. Just be patient with your mom and Nick. They'll work out and things will be fine. I'm not sure where all of that came from, but I feel good saying it to Noah. He needs to understand that I'm the catalyst for these emotions between Nick and Josie. What I don't understand is Nick. On Thanksgiving, he promised to try and be cordial for Noah and Josie's sake. I didn't promise him anything. I drop Noah off at home and tell him I'll see him tomorrow after school. Right now, the agreement is I'll pick Noah up from school, keep him for dinner, and drop him off an hour before bedtime, unless he has practice. I drive by my soon-to-be new house and park out front. I want to see Josie running outside with me and Noah. I want her flowers decorating the front and inside. I want her living here with us as a family. It's Noah's last game of the season. I'm standing in my usual spot with Peyton beside me. She watches Noah like a hawk, and I haven't figured out if it's a crush or if she wants to play football. Caitlin says no football, but maybe in a few years she'll change her mind. Noah is struggling today. He's thrown two interceptions and has fumbled the ball. I'm counting the seconds to halftime so I can ask him what's going on. When the buzzer sounds, I walk over to the sideline to greet him. He takes off his helmet. His unhappy expression makes my heart ache for him. What's going on?
I don't know. Nothing feels right. I'm seeing everything slow.
Do you not trust your receivers?
Noah, get over here!
Nick yells. I know he's the coach, but it's not like I don't know what I'm talking about. Trust your receivers, Noah. Throw the pass as it's designed. They'll be there to catch it.
Thanks, Dad. Sorry you can't come tonight.
I look at Noah questioningly. He's with his team before I can ask what he's talking about. Noah's second half fares better than the first, but they still end up losing. Noah looks sad and probably angry with himself. He throws his helmet, which I don't approve of at all. I head over to the bench to speak to him about sportsmanship.
Pick it up, Noah!
Nick demands. Noah is standing there, his arms crossed over his chest.
I don't know what you're trying to pull, but it won't fly. Pick it up!
Noah, what's going on? I ask, stepping forward and standing next to Nick. Nick takes a deep breath, turns and glares at me.
This isn't your concern, Westberry. In fact, you're the problem.
Excuse me?
You heard me, he growls.
I look in the stands for Josie. She's standing there, her face frozen as she takes in this scene. There is definitely something going on there that I'm not privy to.
Get your stuff, Noah. We're going to be late.
Noah stares at Nick, not moving. He looks at me with tears in his eyes. I walk over to him and pull him aside.
Noah, what's the deal?
I ask, bending down to his level.
There's a team party and Nick said you can't come.
I look over my shoulder at Nick, who's in a heated conversation with Josie. He makes shit difficult when it could be so easy.
It's all right, buddy. We can hang out tomorrow.
No, I want you there, and since it's for kids, I should get to pick.
My son, the logical one. Who knew?
Tell you what, you go to the party and call me when you're done. Then I'll come get you, and you can spend the night, okay?
Mom will say no.
Leave your mom to me, I say. He leans forward and gives me a hug. By the way, if I ever see you throw your helmet again, you'll be sorry. Am I clear?
Yes, sir.
Go pick it up. I wait a moment before interrupting Josie and Nick. I hate what I'm about to do, but Nick is giving me no other option.
So, Noah is going to call me when your party thing is over, and I'm going to pick him up and take him back to Caitlin's to spend the night.
Nick starts chuckling.
Says who? You? Nick. No, Josie. Set some goddamn boundaries with him. You let him walk all over you, and Noah played like shit tonight because he's pissed off at me.
Hey, don't blame Noah. It's not his fault. Stay out of this, Westbury.
You know, Nick, I thought we were cool, but I guess not. Either way, you don't matter in this equation.
I hate saying these things, because I promised myself I'd treat Nick like a parent. I look at Josie. She looks embarrassed. She should be.
I'll pick Noah up when he calls. If this doesn't work for you, tell me now so I can have my lawyer fax you a custody agreement.
I leave her with the words I never wanted to say. But she's giving me no choice here. I've met every demand of hers, and she allows Nick to fight me on spending time with my boy. No more.
Chapter 28. Josie. I don't know what I did to deserve the nasty turn my life has taken, but I'd like to know so I can rectify the cluster that has become my life. The team party is, to put it mildly, an epic disaster. Noah isn't talking to Nick. Nick isn't talking to me. Parents are talking about me. They don't even have the common courtesy to do it behind my back. I can see them pointing and whispering. The head shaking and side glances. They make it seem like I've done something wrong. This incident would be no different if Liam and I were divorced and sharing custody. I bet I'm being branded the town harlot. So what? I got knocked up by my very steady boyfriend the summer before we left for college, and, yes, he left me. But he didn't know about the baby, or he wouldn't have. Liam loved me then, unconditionally. He would have stayed. And been utterly miserable because he didn't want to play football, and that is what I reminded him of. The dream that wasn't his, but mine. We would have married and divorced a few years later, because I would have held him back from his destiny. Destiny is such bullshit. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm done with this football team for the year. I'm done with the pointing, staring, and the questions. Whether or not Liam will fund the team next year so they can have new uniforms. My frustration level is reaching an all-time high. I think I need a vacation. Someplace tropical and warm with white sandy beaches and water so blue you look like you're floating in a crystal clear sky. I can close my eyes and feel the warmth on my skin, the sand between my toes, and the ocean. Its waves calming me with a sweet lullaby. A place like that calls for romance, a lover's getaway. I can see myself and Nick spending the day sharing a hammock, reading together while he sways us back and forth, gently.
I'll snuggle up to him, and even though it's hotter than blazes out there, he'll keep me cool.
I'll pepper him with kisses, and he'll look into my eyes, tell me that he loves me. Only it's not Nick I see when I look into the eyes staring back at me. It's Liam. Noah comes up to me and hugs me from behind. I love my boy. He's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I thank my lucky stars every day that I made the right decision to keep him. My dad is outside, he says quietly in my ear. I nod and sit forward, releasing his hold on me. I leave the table. Nick shakes his head while Noah and I walk hand in hand to the front door. Sure enough, leaning up against his car is Liam, his ankles crossed, hands pushed into his pockets. He doesn't look at me, but smiles at Noah like he hasn't seen him in a week. He loves Noah without question. We didn't stop and get him clothes. I'll bring some over.
No need. I went shopping. He'll have enough at Caitlin's.
It kills me when he talks about Caitlin's. He makes it sound like it's his home. Noah gets in the car and waves to me. Not a kiss goodbye or anything. He knows Nick and I aren't getting along and he wants to be far away from me. I can't blame him. Liam shuts the door and walks over to me. I'm not prepared to look at him. His expression is indifferent, as if Liam Page is looking at me right now, like I'm one of his conquests who he accidentally fathered a child with. You can't take him away from me, Liam. He's all I have. Liam's eyes are sharp when he looks at me.
I'm not going to take him away from you, Josie. But I'm not going to stand by while Nick acts like this. I tried. I've done everything you've asked of me. I call him daily. I came back. Hell, I bought a fucking house just so he has a place he can feel comfortable in. I'm done bending to appease your boyfriend. I know Nick has raised him, but he's our son, Jojo.
I know. I choke out.
I don't know. It feels like Nick is trying to prove a point, like he won you or something. I know he wanted you in high school, and it's no secret he and I weren't friends, but this... Something's up with him, and I don't like it.
Liam leans in and kisses me on the cheek. He leaves without saying goodbye. I watch as his car, the car carrying my whole life, drives away. I turn and look into the window of the pizza parlor. Everyone's laughing and having fun. I lean against the wall and slide down, resting my head in my hands. Here, Nick Ashford asked me to give this to you. Caitlin holds up a folded note, waving it back and forth. Are you and Liam fighting? No, why would you ask that? I ask while setting my books in my locker. I don't know. Why else would Nick Ashford write you a love letter? I stand up and look at her. She's smirking, her eyebrow raised. I have no idea. I reach for the note. She moves it fast, keeping it out of my reach.
What's this?
Mason grabs it out of her hand. Caitlin has an oh shit look on her face when Mason opens it up. He stands still, his jaw clenching. He turns and looks at me. I slink back against my locker.
Do you have a hard-on for Nick Ashford?
No, not at all. I reply, defending myself.
Wait until Liam sees this.
Mason says.
Sees what?
Liam bends down to kiss me before turning to Mason.
What's this?
He asks when Mason hands him the piece of paper. Liam looks from the paper to me and back again.
What's this, Josie?
I don't know. Caitlin brought it to me. I don't even know what it says. Liam looks at Caitlin, who shrugs. He gave it to me in history class.
It says...
Liam starts.
Dear Josephine, do you realize how beautiful you are? I see you in the halls and wish I had the courage to talk to you, but I don't. I wouldn't know what to say. I would like to get to know you better. Call me. Yours, Nicholas Ashford.
Mason and Liam start laughing, and it pisses me off. I walk away from them knowing that Nick just bought himself an ass-beating. Caitlin should have just handed me the note instead of waving it around. Before I can turn into my class, a strong hand pushes me through the double doors leading outside. I know it's Liam, even though he's behind me. He directs me to the football field, his favorite place to hold a conversation. Except we aren't talking. He pushes me up against the concrete wall, my legs wrapping around his hips instantly. His mouth attacks mine, our hands everywhere.
Do you want to call Ashford? he asks as he moves from my mouth down my neck. I shake my head, and it's the truth. I have no desire to know or talk to Nick Ashford other than being his classmate. He's jealous of me, baby. He wants everything I have. Please don't give it to him.
I won't. I promise. I press my fingers into my temples, willing away the pressure as the door opens. Nick stands there looking at me. Something has to change. He holds out his hand to help me up, our fingers twisting together as we walk to the car. He seems so much more relaxed when Noah isn't around, and I don't like that. I want my son around all the time. When we get into the house, he pushes me up against the wall and kisses me, his tongue eager and rough as it tangles with mine. He sheds his shirt, pulling at mine. I push him away, but he thinks it's only to gain the space I need to take off my shirt. "We need to talk," I say without making eye contact. He lets go of me and leads us into the living room. We both sit. I turn and face him, bringing my knee up underneath me. "You can't fight with Liam anymore. It's not fair to Noah." I know I screwed things up when I made the decision to tell Noah about Liam, but what's done is done. I can't change it. We have to accept that Liam is part of our lives now and just move forward. Nick brings my hand to his lips and kisses it.
"You're right. I've been an ass. And you're also right about moving forward. That's why we're moving."
I look at Nick, dumbfounded. I know my ears must be deceiving me. He has a steady practice here, and I'm in the process of expanding my shop. There's no way in hell I'm moving. "Excuse me? What did you say?" My voice catches in my throat. I can barely breathe.
"I'm taking a sabbatical, and we're going to Africa for a year for Doctors Without Borders."
I can tell by the look on his face that he's serious, and he thinks we're going with him. He made this monumental decision without even consulting me. My choice in telling Noah about Liam is peanuts compared to this. "No," I whisper. I shake my head. "I'm not going anywhere."
"It will be good for us. Noah will learn a lot."
I rip my hand out of his and stand. "Noah and I aren't going, Nick. You don't get to make a decision like this for us without talking to me first. Liam..."
"I don't give a shit about Liam, Josie. Get that through your head. I'm taking my family, and we're going."
"No, we're not. You can go, but we're staying here." Nick stands, moving in front of me.
"What are you saying?"
I look at the man I've loved for the past 6 years. "If you want to go, Nick, then go. But Noah and I are staying here. Noah has school and his activities, and I'm not going to take him away from Liam while they're building a relationship. And I have my shop. I can't just leave. I won't. It's not open for discussion."
"So that's it? You're picking Westbury over me?"
I shake my head. "No, Nick. I'm picking Noah."
Chapter 29. Liam. Noah and I unpack the last box of clothes that I brought from L.A. I've decided to make Beaumont my hometown, and we'll travel back and forth between here and Los Angeles. Harrison and Quinn will join us for Christmas. Harrison doesn't have much family, and when I told him about Beaumont, he asked if they could come. The one thing I haven't done is tell Sam that I've left. I have my penthouse until the end of March, at which time I'll have to find temporary digs. I hope Jimmy and Harrison won't mind recording music here. When I told Harrison about Noah, he was excited and completely on board with my new plan. He said he understood why I needed to make the change, and said he'd probably do the same thing if he had just found out about Quinn. Things with Josie are better, but non-existent, and I'm okay with that. She needs time to heal from her breakup, and I need time to be a dad. I have a lot of years to make up for. We're getting a Christmas tree tomorrow. With everything unpacked and put away, the delivery couldn't come at a better time. Caitlin and the girls are coming over to decorate. Apparently this is Elle's specialty. Who am I to deny three beautiful women the opportunity to do all the hard work? The doorbell rings, and Noah yells, "I'll get it!" from the top of the stairs. I cringe when I hear him stomping down the stairs. Both Josie and I are afraid he's going to slip and break something. But he isn't listening to either of us. Maybe he'll listen when he's in the emergency room. I hear a crash and something shattering. I run from the kitchen through the dining room, panic setting in because I can't hear Noah. He's too quiet. "Noah, are you..." I stop dead in my tracks. She stands there with casserole spread all over her feet, her hand covering her gaping mouth, eyes watering. I set my hand on Noah's shoulder and look at her. She's aged, but obviously had some work done. I can't tell if she still wears the same red lipstick she did when I was growing up, but I somehow think she hasn't changed much. "Noah, why don't you go grab some gloves, a towel, and a plastic bag, and we'll get that cleaned up."
"Okay, Dad."
Noah runs off toward the kitchen. I wait a few beats before looking her in the eyes. She's watching Noah. "What are you doing here?" She looks at me, the same cold stare I grew up with. If I didn't know better, I'd think she hated me. That maybe I ruined her life.
"I was... he's... casserole, and... you're..."
"Are you really speechless? Or has the vodka finally impaired your ability to function like a normal human?"
"I haven't had a drink in 5 years," she says.
"Congratulations. You should go before my son comes back. I don't want to explain while we're talking, as if we know each other."
"Liam..."
"Don't," I say, as I step over the mess she's created on my porch. I shut the door quietly behind me so I can be frank with her.
"You don't get to Liam me. You stood by and watched as he threw me out of the house. You're supposed to protect me, and you should have been protecting Noah. You live in the same goddamn town, and he looks just like me, so don't tell me you haven't seen him or Josie around. You should have told me. You were the only one who knew how to get a hold of me, and you didn't."
"I'm sorry. I tried. But you know your father. He was adamant."
"I don't want excuses. I missed 10 years with him. 10!
Can I meet him?"
I have to look away because looking at her, mascara running down her face like a Sunset Strip streetwalker, isn't doing much good for me. I hate seeing her like this, and sadly, it's my most vivid memory of her. "Why should I let you?"
"You shouldn't. I'm not a good person, Liam. I know that. I try, though, all the time to do something good for someone. I'm trying to be independent and not so..."
"Robotic?"
"Is that how you saw me?"
"Yeah, it is," I say, moving toward the door. "You can meet him, but Sterling can't. I don't want him anywhere near my son." She nods and follows me into the house. Noah is sitting on the steps with the supplies in his hands. "What are you doing sitting there?" I ask him.
"You were having a private conversation. I didn't want to interrupt." "He's so polite."
I nod, because he is. Josie has raised him well. The bathroom is down the hall. Noah and I will clean up this mess. Bianca Westbury walks down the hall in a home that I own. I swear, I never thought I'd see this day in my lifetime. We clean up the mess and Noah hoses down the porch. I'm afraid the steps will ice over tonight, so we'll have to watch that in the morning.
"Who's the lady?"
he asks. I want to say a stranger. But she's here and asking for an opportunity that I'm certain Josie wouldn't want her to have. I suppose if she wants to see Noah, she can come over here and do it. I look over my shoulder to see Bianca standing there, wringing her hands. She's cleaned up the best she can, but she's nervous. I've never seen her so unsure of herself. I motion for her to sit down in the living room. She takes one of the wingback chairs while Noah and I sit on the couch. Remember when you asked if you could meet my parents? Noah nods. His eyes light up at the mention of my parents.